Thank you for that. All right, let's be praying again for a lot of falls lately. A lot of people falling, and not just the older folks. Brother Bobby Davenport fell at work the other day, and I checked on him this morning. He was saying he's a police officer. He fell on his right side on his gun, and you know, it just bruised him up real bad. So he said the worst part is it was on camera. And I know he's watching this morning, and I'm telling it on here. Amen, right? So you be in prayer for Brother Bobby about that, because that was Wednesday, so he's still healing up from that. So you know how that goes. What did you say?
I said,
was it on YouTube? Oh. Brother Bobby, they want to know if it's on YouTube. Send us the link, amen, if you're watching today. All right, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12 in our Bible today. Hebrews chapter 12, I want to read the first three verses. I just want to preach to you some simple thoughts today about what we need in 2024. And let's think about that today. So let's stand together if you're able. We'll stand and read these first three verses. It's a great chapter in the Bible. Of course, and verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word and the great instruction there. And I gotta just pray for your power, your help, your Holy Spirit this morning to speak to our hearts, Lord. God, I pray for our people, Lord, our salvation and our sanctification, Lord. God, if there's some that need salvation, I pray, Lord, they'll certainly realize it and find that. And God, help us, Lord, to grow and live for you this year and get stronger as we move into this new year. And I just ask for your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I said it's a great passage of Scripture, and that's an understatement. I realize to be able to say that. He says, wherefore? Seeing we've got this great cloud of witnesses. Now, you know that's coming right off of Hebrews 11, which is the hall of faith, we call it. So he's saying, because of all those that have come before us, and because they made it, and how'd they make it? By faith. How are you going to make it? By faith. So he says twice there, let us. They did it, Hebrews 11, hall of faith, by faith. They did it by faith. How are you going to do it? By faith, let us now. And then he talked about the race that is set before us. Moses, Abraham, all of those that are listed in there in the chapter, they all had their race. Now you've got your race. You're running a race. Amen? You feel like you're running a race. You're kind of tired today. You feel like you've been in a marathon. Well, that's what the Christian life is. Paul likens the Christian life to a long-distance race or a marathon. And you know how it's set up. We seem to just sort of a new leg of the race every January. We started up again. There. So he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience. Have you needed to run your race with patience coming into this new year? Did you need some patience? Did you learn some patience last year? Are you still learning patience? That seems to be a lesson we never get, right? We never get over that one. It's always there that we're trying to learn some patience there. But I like what he said in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the beginning. He's the end of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. That seems like an odd statement. The joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. In other words, Jesus didn't just, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, look at the cross. He looked beyond the cross. Because it says after that, he went and sat down in heaven at the right hand of the Father. Folks, I'm going to tell you, you got to do the same thing. You bear your cross and you face your troubles and your trials, and you will this year again. You did last year, you will again this year. But here's the thing. Like Jesus, we look beyond those troubles. right on up into heaven, because where he ended up in heaven after all that earthly trial and trouble that he went through, he's in heaven forevermore. Folks, that's where we're going to. So he says, you endured now by looking unto then. Keep your eyes on heaven. Keep your eyes on Jesus who already did it. Now, all those in chapter 11 are examples as well, but our ultimate example, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ, right? But he endured that looking ahead at the joy. By the way, you know what the other part of the joy was? When he died on that cross, he did it for your salvation. He did it so that you could be saved, so that you could be forgiven, so that you could be with him forevermore in heaven. The Lord gets joy out of that. I'm glad he died on the cross because I don't have to spend an eternity in hell paying for my own sins. Jesus Christ, the perfect, sinless Son of God, died on the cross, paid my penalty and yours too, the penalty of the whole world. And whoever will receive him as our Savior by faith, we're forgiven. And then we get to go spend eternity with him in heaven. That's the joy that was beyond the cross. So he endured the cross knowing it was going to provide salvation for us. So in verse 3 again, he said, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know where the battle's going to be this year and always has been? Right there in your mind, isn't it? It's going to be in your mind. The devil's going to throw his fiery darts at you, and he's going to tell you to quit. He's going to tell you to give up. I've already said, coming into this year right here, it's been already pretty tough for a lot of folks. You just keep hearing story after story as people are coming into this new year dealing with a lot. And many are going to faint in their minds because of the stress. That's what it's to. The Lord sweat, as it were, great drops of blood in Gethsemane, praying about what was about to happen on the cross. But yet he looked beyond the cross. So he's telling us, look to Jesus and what he did and how he looked beyond the cross. You know, looking back will not help you. In some ways, looking back can help. I understand that. But there's a lot of ways, a lot of times we look back and it doesn't help us, right? There was a famous race back in the 1950s. A man named Bannister was the first one to break the 4-minute mile. And then soon after that, somebody else did it. Once somebody figured out it could be done, a lot of people did it. Well, these two fellows that did it first, they had a historic race with those two. And Bannister, who was the first one to break the 4-minute mile, he ended up winning the race, but he wasn't in the lead coming to the finish line. The other guy was. But the other guy looked back behind him, and that's when Bannister overtook him. And he later said, if I hadn't have looked back, I'd have won the race. You know, sometimes we're not winning our race because we're so busy looking back, right? God gave us two ears and one mouth. Imagine what that might mean, right? You figured that one out yet? You know. And he put our eyes in the front and not in the back. Imagine what that might mean, right? We need to keep plowing forward, looking forward, and as Christians especially, looking unto Jesus, right? Now, if you're looking in the past to past hurts, trials, problems, that's not helping us, is it? We got to learn to look ahead. So here we have the Bible likening this to our Christian life to a race. Now, we know there's justification, sanctification, glorification. Justification is the start line. That's when you got saved. Sanctification is the whole race. That's where you're living for the Lord in this life. Glorification is when you get to the finish line, which is heaven, right? So he pictures that here as a race. And you think about it, how did you run last year? How did you do? Did you gain ground, lose ground? By the way, did you learn to follow the Lord? That was our theme last year. Jesus said, follow me. I hope you learned to follow the Lord last year. That was our theme last year. By the way, let me go ahead and say this. At this point right now, I'm not presenting a new theme. We've had a theme for several years. At this point right now, I'm not presenting a new theme. I've got ideas. I got things. I just hadn't settled in on anything. I'm a little scared about what that might mean. I don't know as far as the Lord knows what's going on. And by the way, first couple of years I did a theme. It was about February or March before I gave it to you. So just hang on. We might get one yet. But I hope you learned last year's theme, follow Jesus. Just keep doing that, amen, your whole life. exactly what the Bible tells us there. I don't know if you learned, how you did last year. I hope you did well. I hope you learned to follow the Lord, and I hope you gained ground and you didn't lose ground in your spiritual life. I'm glad you're here at the start of this year. Hopefully that'll help you to do even better in this leg of the race that we call a year. And they go faster, and a lot of them are behind us. Hopefully there's a lot of them ahead of us. Anybody want to say amen to that one right there? Hopefully there's a lot of them ahead of us. Unless the Lord comes back, amen. And then we got eternity ahead of us for sure. So what will help us run the race this year? Here's a couple of statements you've heard. Some are always getting ready to live, but never get busy with living. Is that true? Always getting ready to do it, never get around to doing it. Some make a living, but not a life. We got to just start looking to Jesus and not looking back, not living in the past, looking forward and doing what God has for us to do. Amen. God, the will of, by the way, you know what your race is? It's the will of God for your life. The race that is set before you. It may be different than the race that is set for the person beside you. The will of God for your life, that's your race. And you follow the Lord. Now, we all run it the same way. We run it by faith. And we trust the Lord and we look to Jesus, but it's different for all of us. Peanuts comic strip, Lucy told Charlie Brown, she said, life's like a lawn chair. Some place it where they can see where they're going. Some place it so they can see where they've been. Some place it to see where they're at currently. So she asked Charlie Brown where his lawn chair was at. He said, I ain't got the thing unfolded yet. And a lot of folks might feel like that about life. They hadn't got going yet. But just say, from this point forward, Lord, no matter what I've done in the past, no matter my regrets, no matter my sins, no matter all of that, Lord, forgive it, wash it under the blood. The Lord said He'll forget it. Amen? He'll forgive it and forget it. And say, Lord, from this point forward, I'm looking unto Jesus. I'm living for You, right? And I think that's a great emphasis to think about when we get to this point of the year. When I first started preaching, I loved to preach on the church. Sunday nights, we're in the book of Acts. I won't be tonight. I'm going to kind of go away from that and talk about faith and difficulties tonight. But I love to preach on the church. I always wanted to preach on the church and grow the church and win souls, and I still do. But the other thing was I always loved the new year because it was always such a natural time to challenge people for revival. But, you know, I think we need that once a quarter probably to really think about where I've been, where I'm going. Amen. And thank God that He's ready to lead us. I want to give you just three thoughts today on what we need in 2024. Number one, I'm going to give you this. We need discipline. Doesn't that one make you smile? Amen? We need some discipline in our lives. Now, if I'd have kept reading here, it goes on to talk about God chastises, God chastens His children. You know that's discipline. And God says all of His children get chastened at some point. There's chastening. You know, a lot of the trouble that we go through, not all of it now, but not all the trouble, a lot of our trouble is trials. But you know, sometimes our trouble is chastening of God. It is the Lord disciplining us in our life. And of course, He does talk about that can come to an end because down in verse 11, He says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, nevertheless, afterward, yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So in other words, and He had already given the example of an earthly father giving discipline to their earthly children. And He said, if we gave reverence to our parents, how much more should we give reverence to our Heavenly Father? And He says, after the discipline, it leads to the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Y'all understand that picture, right? We probably understand. Most of us know what it is to be disciplined by our earthly parents, and hopefully that you didn't enjoy it at the time. But it brought better things, right? And your parents told you it hurt them more than it did you, right? Remember that too. Or you might have said that to your kids somewhere along the line as well. I don't know, but it brings about better things, good things, right? It gets us out of trouble. But there's not only the discipline of chastening, there's also the discipline that we need to exercise, the spiritual disciplines, so that we can make the most out of our Christian life. There's some spiritual disciplines that we need to think about
in our life, the Lord doesn't do it all for us. He saves our soul. Salvation is of the Lord. But He don't make you read your Bible. He doesn't make you go to church. He doesn't make you pray. He doesn't make you fight temptation. Now, He tells you to, and He'll give you everything you need to do it, but He doesn't make us do any of it, does He? He didn't make us get saved. He offered it, and He offers us everything we need, but there are some spiritual disciplines that we're going to have in our life. Now, Paul often talked about the Olympic Games. Now, sort of what he's got in mind right there. Paul used that in a lot of passages. Do you think an Olympian needs some discipline in their life? I mean, they don't get to where they're at without some discipline in their life. I mean, the workouts, the diets, and all of that stuff that goes with it. But there are spiritual disciplines that we have to have in our life as well. Paul said, otherwise, he said in 1 Corinthians 9, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. He said, I'm exercising, I'm watching my diet, I'm telling my body what to do instead of it telling me what to do. Ouch, amen, oh me, something right there, right? He said, I'm giving the orders and my body obeys. You know, living in the flesh is, if it feels good, do it. He said, I ain't doing that. I'm doing the right things, I'm making the right decisions. He said, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. He said, I got to do some things in my own life. In other words, I got to practice what I'm telling you to do. I got to practice what I preach is what Paul was saying. And he was teaching them how to do some things. Now, I think we need to be disciplined in our Christian testimony this year. Let your light so shine for Jesus. Say, preacher, I'm having trouble. I'm having problems. I'm having trials. Trust the Lord. Look unto Jesus and let your light so shine. Keep the globe clean, amen, right? And if you keep, that's your life, keep your globe clean and the light of the Lord can shine even in the midst of our troubles and trials and in the valley of the shadow of death. We can shine for Jesus and say, hey, I don't know how else I'd get through this if it wasn't for the Lord, amen? And let your testimony shine so that the Lord gets the glory out of what you're doing or what's going on in your life. And let me say this one too. How about be disciplined in your church attendance this year? First Sunday of the year, I'm glad you're here. Keep it up. Some of you might think about adding the evening services. Put the church schedule in your schedule. Be more consistent in your church attendance. Now look, I'm telling you, Hebrews 10:25 talks about this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. But so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, we're getting into the latter times. The Bible says go to church more, not less. It'll help you, and I'm telling you, it's going to encourage you, it's going to help you, but you know what else that passes? It talks about exhorting one another. You know what else it does? It helps and encourages your church, too. When you show up, it's a blessing to the pastor, it's a blessing to everybody else. To see us. Now, we got people missing today. We got a lot of people. And I know a lot of the problems and issues and stories behind that. But I miss them and miss you if you're not here. And we miss one another when we're not here. But I'm just saying, and I know everybody, let me say this. Those that are in the services, I grew up, if the doors were open, we're there, right? And some of you are like that now. But I want to say, look, those people that are here every time the doors are open, they don't do it because it's so convenient. They do it because they've disciplined themselves to do that. And they put the church schedule in their schedule. I'm just saying, it will help you to do that. Now, let me say this too. Be disciplined in your daily devotions because we need spiritual nourishment in between church services, right? We need the inward man is renewed day by day because Jesus talked about men ought always to pray and not to faint. Mention that here. You're going to faint in your mind if you don't have that spiritual nourishment. Man shall not live by bread alone. We don't forget to eat. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Let's don't forget our Bible. Let's don't forget our prayer time. Use some helps. There's a Bible reading schedule out there. There's devotional books out here all the time. Use these things. They'll help you get the spiritual nourishment. Why? Because you need some discipline in your life this year. And that'll help provide it, right? It'll help you. Let me give you number two. We also need not only discipline, we need some distinction. Now, thinking about the idea here of the Olympic Games or the running the race, you think about any sport, NFL, MLB, NBA, whatever it is, track, you recognize the team by the uniform, right? What they're wearing. You recognize the sport by the attire. You recognize the team or the nation by the colors, right? You can tell. Let me ask you this. Can people tell whose side we're on? Now, we sang, the choir sang about being on the winning side. Can people tell by looking at your life that you're a Christian? Can they tell? Is there, I said distinction for the people of God. There ought to be a distinction. There ought to be a difference. There ought to be something that lets them know that's a Christian right there. I can tell it in how they walk or talk. Preached on that the other night about Enoch walking with God. I can tell it in their manner of life. I can tell it in their talk. I can tell it in their attitude. I can tell it in their spirit, perhaps even in their dress. I can tell that's somebody that believes and follows the Lord. That's a Christian right there. I think that's important that we have that distinction that tells people, hey, that's a follower of Christ right there. I can see it in them. I can tell that. I've had people, you know, for years, I just meet people somewhere and they say, you're a preacher, aren't you? I can just tell, they'll say. So I don't know why that is, but I don't know what that means. It means I'm nerdy looking or something. I don't know. Hair combed over or whatever. But have you ever had anybody say, you're a Christian, aren't you? I can tell you're a Christian. Probably have had that somewhere along the line too, right? Because they could pick up on it. You know, so I have people, they'll find out I'm a preacher after they cursed a few times, and they'll say, oh, I apologize. I had a guy say that to me a while back, and, oh, you're a preacher, I'm sorry. Kept doing it, though, so it didn't matter, right? You know, so anyway, that's how it goes. When I was in the workforce before I went in the ministry, I'd have them say, sorry, Rev, you know, they would call me that because I was started preaching, you know, and they knew I was a Christian. But anyway, let's just try to let people know whose side we're on. There ought to be a distinction about our life that people can see. Now, here he talks about laying aside hindrances. Lay aside every weight. You know, the runner, hey, if he practices in ankle weights, he's got to take those off come race time, right? So lay aside those things, he's saying. If the batter is in the, if he's on deck and he puts that weight on the bat, he's got to take it off when he goes up to bat, right? These boxers, you know, they'll spar with these big heavy gloves, but whenever it's time to get into the ring, you put that aside, you get the lighter weight gloves, right? Why? You want to lay aside the things that aren't going to help you be efficient. Now look, he says the sin, you got a besetting sin. You got a sin. You got something that the devil knows how to get at you, right? You've got that besetting sin. He says get rid of that too. You can get victory over that too. But when he talks about the weights, that might be something that's not necessarily a sin, but it is a hindrance and is not letting you be the best Christian you could be. And you got to figure that out for yourself, what that is that you need to lay aside. It might be hurting your testimony. It might be hurting your living for Jesus, your performance as a Christian. So that goes back to some discipline as well. But I'm talking about distinction right now to where people can tell that we are the children of God. Now, the Bible says also on this point of putting stuff off, the Bible says put on the whole armor of God. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to put on the armor of God too, right? Put some things off, put some things on. Why? There ought to be some discipline. There ought to be some distinction. And I think if we'll do these things, it'll help us in our life. Let me get on to number three, and that is we need direction in our life. Now, if the guy running the race don't know the course, and he don't know the next turn, he's going to be in trouble. Don't run the wrong race. Don't run in the wrong direction. Don't run on the wrong track. Be in the right place at the right time. Be in the right race. Now, when I say be in the right race, run your own course. Don't try to do what somebody else is doing. Because that's God's will for them, not you. Right? You run your race, they'll run their race. You know things, you do things. God's got, you know, things in your path, people in your path, opportunities in your path that He only gives to you, not anybody else. You make the most of them, and you do what? Do it all for the glory of God. Right? Whatever your race is, you run that race. You make sure you get your direction. Now, going into this year, you know, Lord, what's the direction? Lord, what do you want us to do? I'm talking about the theme even. I hadn't given you a theme this year, but let's pray for that direction from the Lord. Whatever it is that God wants us to do in our own race as a church, as an individual Christian, as a married couple, as a family, in your business, you run your race. You get the direction from God. Don't you know God wants to guide us? He didn't leave us down here to do this thing by ourselves. He said, I'm going to give you my word. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you a direct prayer line to heaven. I'm going to give you a church that will support you and help you and give you. The Lord's given us all the guidance that we need. Amen? And we just need to, again, go back to discipline and say, I'm going to take advantage of everything God's given me this year. I want 2024. Look, I'm a prophet every year, and I say, you're going to have some trouble. Was I right last year? Was I right? I'm not a prophet, but I can always guarantee you that one. You're going to have some trouble this year. And I believe, if a prophet's, if what a prophet said didn't come true, he was a false prophet. So on that one point right there, was I right last year? Did you have a problem or two, some trouble? I told you you would, right? You want me to tell you it again? It's coming again. And for some people, it's already come. It's already happened. Things have already hit. So we know that's going to happen. Lord, what do we do? Sometimes we're like, do you ever say, Lord, I don't know what to do? Have you said recently, Lord, I don't know what to do? You're saying, God, I need you to guide me. The Bible promises if we acknowledge Him, He will direct our paths, right? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, great verses to live by. Why? Because we need this direction from the Lord. Pray for that direction. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I love that verse, Psalm 37. The steps of a good man are ordered by the steps. One step at a time. You know why sometimes you don't know what to do? Because God doesn't reveal His will to you 5, 10 years down the road. Sometimes it's just one step by faith, isn't it? But as long as you know, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That lamp is like a flashlight. It just says I need to know where the next step is. But the light can go a little further down and show me I'm going in the right direction. The word of God does that. Preaching does that. Church can help you with that. Prayer can do that. I don't know what to do. I don't know what... We live by faith and not by sight. Well, that frustrates us sometimes, doesn't it? We want to know. If I go somewhere, my wife and I just took a little trip over the weekend for our anniversary, and I'll look at that GPS and I'll look ahead. I kind of like to know what the steps are that's coming, you know? Now, sometimes you get out somewhere and you're just totally dependent on that and just whatever the next... turn is, and I don't know where this is going. And sometimes I'm like, let me hold that thing, and I look to see, did I put the right, where am I going? I don't even know, did I put the right thing in? It might be taking me to Alaska. I don't know where it's taking me, and I'm supposed to be going over here to the coast, whatever it is. But I do like to look ahead so that I know what's coming. Well, sometimes the Lord just lets us know this step. And until God shows you the next step, you know what you do? You stay on this road right here. You keep doing what you know to do until God says, now it's time to take a turn. By the way, you know what repentance is? That's a complete U-turn. I'm doing my own thing, but when I repent, I say, God, I want to walk with you now. And I'm going to turn away from my own way, and Lord, I'm walking with you now. That's repentance. It's a change of mind. It's a turn. And sometimes we might have to do that. In other words, James 4 talked about we have our own will, we have our own plans, but if the Lord will, we'll do this or that. Find direction in your life. Find the will of God this year and pray for a brighter future. Now, on direction, again, don't look back. You got a lot of past hurts. You got a lot of past regrets. You got a lot of unreached goals. You got some past failures. Does focusing on that help you move forward? Focusing on that's not going to help you move forward. Got a lot of things in the past that... Aren't you glad the Bible says God will forgive it and God will forget it? Now, you'll bring it back up and the devil will bring it up. Others will bring it up. I said Wednesday night, this preacher, before he got up to preach, somebody handed him a note. And on that note, it had listed all the sins he had ever done and said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself getting up there to preach. So he got up and he read the note to everybody. And he said, yeah, it's true. I did all those things in my past. He said, they said I ought to be ashamed. You know what? I am ashamed.
but I'm not ashamed of my Savior who forgave it all. Amen? So leave it in the past. The devil will bring it up. Others will bring it up. You'll even bring it up sometimes, and God will say, what sins are you talking about? I've been forgiven and forgot all that. Direction. And remember, eyes are in the front, not the back. Don't look back. Look forward. Isn't that what it says Jesus did, looking beyond the cross? He was not just looking at the cross. He looked at the throne in heaven where he was headed beyond the cross. He looked at an eternity with his people who will get saved because he went to the cross. Are you looking beyond it? Look to what? Look into eternity. Keep your eyes on heaven. You say, people are so heavenly minded and they're no earthly good. I ain't never found that guy. I really hadn't. People that have their mind on heaven do the most good down here on earth. I believe that. The Bible says, set your affection on things above, not on the things on this earth. I think I can do more on this earth if my mind and heart and affections are in heaven. Jesus looked beyond the cross at your salvation. That gave him joy. He looked beyond the cross that he would sit down at the right hand of the Father. That gave him joy. Today you've got trouble, you've got trial, you've got difficulty, you've got challenges, you've got uncertainties, you've got unknowns, and you're only taking it one step at a time. But I tell you, even though you can't look too far ahead, you actually can look beyond this right on into eternity, because my Bible says the Lord's preparing a place for you up there. And you're going to be with Him forevermore. Keep your mind on heaven. Keep your mind on Jesus. It'll help you deal with the troubles and the trials and the problems down here. Amen? And may the Lord help us with this. These are just some things that I think we need in this year. Discipline. Christian life. Distinction, that's your testimony as a Christian. Direction, that's your life as a Christian. The Lord gives us all of that. And I hope and pray it'll be a help to you as you come into a new year. I hope it was good last year. I hope it's better and pray it's better this year. Would you bow your heads with me this morning, please, as we think about these things? Our heads are bowed this morning. Our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. This altar is open. You may need to come this morning for some reason or another. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to be saved. And you may want to come this morning and ask, how can I be saved? I want to know the Lord. I want to know that I'm on the winning side. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. You might want to get that taken care of on this first Sunday of the year. Or as a Christian, you might say, Lord, I just need some direction. I need some help in these matters. I need some more discipline in my Christian life, my Christian efforts. I need to do better. I need some more distinction in how I live for you, Lord. Whatever it is, I need direction. I need to make a decision. Whatever it is, this altar is open. The Lord will meet you here. Dear Father, Lord, I pray you'd help us now. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the emphasis you've given us here on this first Sunday of the year. And Lord, I pray you'd meet the needs of the congregation, Lord, whatever it might be. Challenge us, Lord, and help us to obey you in these things. And I ask it in Jesus' name this morning. Little music plays. This altar is open. If you need to come, step out. No need to wait or hesitate. Come get on the altar and pray. Pray for your year. Pray for your trouble. Pray for your trial. Pray for whatever's on your heart that God is tugging on your soul about. You may want to cast your cares upon Him this morning, knowing He cares for you. You may want to ask the Lord to save your soul. What a great place to do it, right here in church. Some have come this morning. Some are praying where you are, no doubt. But you may want to come lay it on the altar today. Might help you. You may want to come let this preacher know, hey, I need the Lord. I need salvation. I need to know about that. Whatever the need is, I hope you'll respond as the Lord speaks to our hearts today. Amen, amen. Let's just keep praying for each other as we go into this new year. Amen. We bear you one another's burdens and lift each other up. Just check out your bulletin. Remember all the things that are there as well. And then all the prayer needs. Again, people that aren't here today and got things going on that we've already mentioned this morning, remember all of those. And there's an unspoken prayer request on every pew, right? And in every heart of what's going on in people's lives. So let's just remember that as we go into a new year. I don't mean to be so negative today. I want it to be a bright year, okay? Look unto Jesus and be bright. Have a bright future, brighter future. But I think we all understand. We're not doing health, wealth, and prosperity preaching here because that's not the life Jesus or the apostles live. And it's not the life we live either, right? We got to trust the Lord and go through some troubles. Trials that God gives for your faith and troubles that the devil sends to tear you down, right? That's the Christian life oftentimes. But we're on the winning side, and the Lord's going to help us with it, okay? All right, we'll be back tonight at 6. Choir practice this afternoon as well. Wednesday night at prayer meeting at 7, so remember all of that. And let's ask the Lord to go with us as we depart here today. Be sure and encourage one another on your way out today, okay? Brother Kevin, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?